If you'd like to turn your Bibles to the New Testament book of Acts, please. Acts chapter 8, I'd like to speak from this morning. And seeing as though we're having a baptism this afternoon, I'd like us to review what baptism is and just to look at a couple of cases of baptism in the New Testament and particularly focus on Acts chapter 8, where I'll be speaking about a religious man, an Ethiopian eunuch, who came to Jerusalem, left Jerusalem, and then in the desert, he came to know Christ as his Saviour, and he was baptised. Now, if you go to the book of Acts, a key verse in the book of Acts is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus, talking to his disciples, said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Jesus wanted his disciples to be witnesses. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of your primary jobs is to be a witness for him. We've only got this time on earth to be witnesses for the gospel. There's no witnessing to the unsaved in heaven. Why? Because the unsaved are on earth. And we've got the job to be witnesses here and now. We're called to witness, not in our own strength, but in God's strength. He's not only called us, he's commissioned us, he's commanded us, and he's empowered us to be witnesses for him. Now, we come to Acts chapter 8 and we see that Philip was a preacher of the gospel. In Acts chapter 8, Philip declares the gospel in Samaria. He declares God's word. He demonstrates God's power by performing miracles. He preaches, and he's also one who baptizes people when people respond to the gospel. Acts 8 verse 4 says, "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized." So as you trace the book of Acts, there was great persecution which scattered the believers. There was great power. There was great preaching. And the great preaching led to great joy in the city. I believe our cities would be more joyful cities, much more joyful cities, if the gospel was preached and people received the good news of the gospel, that they could have a home in heaven when they died, our cities would be far more full of joy. You go to the cities throughout Wales in the Welsh Revival, and those cities were overflowing with joys. Pubs were closing. Police stations and jails were empty because the good news of the gospel went out in the Welsh Revival, and there was power and there was happiness in those towns because people knew the Lord Jesus. Well, in Acts chapter 8, verse 26, God changes Philip's direction from Samaria and gets him to go out to the desert through the voice of an angel. Now, let's look at Acts 8, 26. "Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, 'Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This is desert. So the story, as you follow Acts chapter 8, is there is a religious man that's come all the way from Ethiopia, and he's come to Jerusalem to worship. And God wants to use Philip, who's a gifted servant in the church, to go and share the gospel with this man. Philip, you remember, was a powerful preacher. But God took him away from the crowds and wanted to use Philip as an individual witness as well. I think that's something I need to draw attention to pastors and missionaries. Pastors have the privilege of preaching the gospel to numbers of people, and so do missionaries. But God also wants pastors and missionaries and all of us to be individual witnesses. Never underestimate the power of someone that comes to another individual and begins to talk to them about the Lord Jesus. So God wanted to use Philip as a powerful witness, but also as a personal witness. Well, let's have a look at this man. A couple of things about this man that I'd like to say, the Ethiopian eunuch, is that he was a respected man, he was a religious man, and he was a resolute man. He was a man that was absolutely determined to go all the way to Jerusalem to worship. He was resolute in his faith. Well, let's have a look at verse 27. It talks about the Ethiopian eunuch there, and he'd come to Jerusalem to worship. Verse 28, was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading the Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. This man was concerned enough to worship God that he travelled over 1,500 miles from Ethiopia. Now it's the old Ethiopia, not the new Ethiopia. If you study commentators, there was an old Ethiopia in the old world, you might say. So he's come from ancient Ethiopia, and he's gone all the way to Jerusalem to worship God. Now he's in a chariot. And if you do the calculations of a chariot travelling about 20 miles per day, the calculations, it would take him over 2 months to get to Jerusalem. That's just one way. So this respected man, this religious man, this resolute man has made this great effort to spend over two months in a chariot travelling to Jerusalem. And don't forget, once he got to Jerusalem, he had to travel another 2 months back. And Philip is encouraged to go and speak with this individual. You know, I think it's very important for us as believers, those of us who've trusted Christ as Saviour, not to let you think that all religious people are saved. Religious people need to be confronted with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. He was a religious man, and he had his Bible, the Old Testament. And even though he'd been travelling for 2 months and he'd been there to worship, he's going back and he's still reading his Bible. He hadn't discovered that Jesus was the Saviour that he was reading about. I believe that religious people, many of them in Australia and throughout the world, need to know the gospel. Remember what Paul said about his own people in Romans 10? He said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. What was Paul saying? His people were the Jews. And the Jews were very religious, but the Jews were ignorant of the righteousness which comes through faith in the Lord Jesus. There are millions of people around the world today in Christian denominations, do you know, that are not saved. There are millions of Jews that need salvation. There are millions of Muslims that need salvation. When we had the door open, I've had Muslims come in, I've had Buddhists come in, I've had atheists come in, I've had Roman Catholics come in, I've had all sorts of people coming into this church that are religious, but they're not right with God. How do I know they're not right with God? I just ask them a few questions. I ask them if they're going to heaven when they die, and many of them say that they don't know. And that tells me that they're not right with God because they have not yet understood the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Paul in Romans 10 verse 10 says, with the heart, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. If you go through the book of Acts, you'll actually find that there are many religious people, they're the ones that are converted. And I think religious people should be part of our target as we are seeking to witness for the Lord. Look in Acts chapter 2. Peter preaches, and they're very religious here in Jerusalem. They'd come from all over, different parts of the world, to the Feast of Pentecost, Acts 2 verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Verse 21 says, and it came to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's Peter's message. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel, so he's talking to religious people, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Verse 40, and with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Religious people that had come from different parts of the world, possibly heard about Jesus, but didn't understand that Jesus was the Messiah and Jesus was the Saviour. And 3,000 souls are saved at Pentecost. You know what's interesting about Christian baptism? If you read the Bible, I find that as the word is preached, that people automatically get baptized. You won't read in the Bible that it says the eunuch came to know Christ and 10 years down the track he decided that he would get baptized. There's nothing wrong with getting baptized 10 years after your conversion, but we see in the book of Acts that a precedent really is people hear the gospel, they understand the gospel, and then they're baptized. They don't muck around. They're baptized straight away. By the way, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus and you've never been baptized by immersion, we've got the tank filled up there. Andre can go first, and I'd welcome you to come and be baptized. If the Spirit of God challenges you this morning on baptism, go home, get your togs, come back. You've got enough time. 1 o'clock, there'll be a baptism here. They were baptized, devout men, religious men that had come to Pentecost but didn't know Jesus as Saviour until Peter declared the gospel, until he declared who the Messiah was, and then they were baptized. 3,000 religious souls were saved and baptized there at Pentecost. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was a religious man. He was a Pharisee. He was zealous for the Lord, but he came to know Christ. Remember Cornelius? Cornelius was a religious man, didn't know the Lord. Acts 10 verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God. Do you know there are unsaved people that fear God? There are unsaved people that know God is their creator, but there are unsaved people that may fear God, know God as their creator, but they don't know Jesus as Saviour. They need a Philip. They need a Peter. They need you to come and bring the gospel to them. Cornelius, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. Cornelius came to know the Lord. Cornelius was baptized. Remember the religious woman, Lydia, where she'd meet at the Sabbath to pray with others in Acts chapter 16. And God used the Apostle Paul. Remember Paul and Silas and those that went on a missionary trip? And God opened her heart, this religious woman. And when God opened her heart to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as Saviour, she opened the door of her house to the Apostle Paul and others and ministered to them. I believe that religious people are some of the best candidates to witness to. The Ethiopian, he's got his Bible, and yet he doesn't know the Lord Jesus. I remember a couple of years ago going on a trip. It was a trip that was organised with a company that took people to Egypt and took people to the land of Israel. This company specialised on taking them to the holy sites. When I decided I would go, I went by myself. I didn't know anyone else on the tour. And we toured parts of Egypt and we toured parts of Israel. And I remember being on that trip, on that bus, and just praying this: Lord, give me an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, what did I mean by that? I knew I was on the bus with a bunch of religious people that weren't saved. And I wanted an Ethiopian eunuch. I wanted someone that was religious and not right with God, that I could present the gospel to them. So that was my prayer. Lord, give me an Ethiopian eunuch, someone that I can witness to, someone that I can present the gospel to. I was in this church, very famous church in Jerusalem, and I was putting tracts out in the church because I knew that there were plenty of people that were coming to this church that were actually unsaved. And I wanted them to read the gospel. And I saw a security guard had got one of my tracts, and I thought, it's time to leave pretty soon. But before I left, there was a man sitting down, and in this church they have a cross where they claim that's where Jesus died. Inside this church they claim it was Calvary, and they've got the cross there. And this man was sitting not far from the cross, and he looked very, very sad, really. And he caught my eye. Anyway, I ended up making my exit out of the church and wondered about that man. I ended up on the other side of Jerusalem, and there the man that was sad, looked sad in the church, there he was in the street. And I thought, he's the one I need to witness to. And I walked up to him and I engaged him in a conversation. He was a man from the desert. He'd come all the way from Texas to Jerusalem on a religious pilgrimage, but he was disappointed. And in a couple of days, he was going to go home as a disappointed man. His pilgrimage hadn't turned out what he wanted it to be. You see, that man did not know Jesus as his Saviour, and I found that out, and I was able to share with him how God himself came to the city of Jerusalem in the person of Jesus. And he died on the cross of Calvary for him, and he could know forgiveness of all his sins if he just trusted Jesus as his Saviour. That man went back to his home in Texas, and I had contact again with him via email. There are religious people all over. Many of us here miss the late Dr. Ung. Dr. Ung got me to come to his place, and he lined up a Catholic priest, and he'd given the Catholic priest my book, because I'm from the Catholic Church originally and I came out of Roman Catholicism. And he gave this priest the book, and he invited me to morning tea so that I could come and I could talk with the priest. And that priest has heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Dr. Ung knew that there was a religious man that he'd made a friendship with, but he knew that religious man didn't understand the truth of salvation, so he lined up the meeting so I could talk with him. I believe that we neglect religious people often. I believe that religious people are often the best candidates to come to know Jesus as Saviour, because they know God is their Creator. They've got a heart for God. They might even have a heart for prayer. They might even have a heart for the Bible. But they may not know Jesus as their Lord and as their Saviour. There are many priests in this town that have no idea of salvation. One great verse to use for Roman Catholics is Hebrews 10, verse 11. And it says, every priest stands daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. The Bible makes it very clear that every priest stands daily, oftentimes offering the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. They need to see the one that has taken away all their sins. In fact, it's the Lord Jesus. There are religious people everywhere. I get religious people knocking on my door. They're called Jehovah's Witnesses. And I don't invite them into my house, but I'm quite open to share the scriptures with them. You see, Jehovah's Witnesses deny that Jesus is God. And a great verse for Jehovah's Witnesses is this. You ask them, have you got a Bible? Yes, I've got a Bible. Could you turn to the Old Testament, please? Yes. Can you turn to Isaiah chapter 9? Yes. Can you turn to verse 6, please? Let me read it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I know this is talking about Jesus. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This is Jesus. It's the Old Testament prophet Isaiah talking about the fact that Jesus is going to come. Who is Jesus? He's the Mighty God. Your religion tells me that Jesus is not the mighty God. The Bible tells me that he is the mighty God. Could you please, Mr. Jehovah's Witness, turn to Revelation chapter 1, please, verse 7. Behold he. Look at the word he. It's a capital. Why do we have capitals for people in the Bible? Well, one of the reasons when we mention God and we name him as he, it's a capital. Behold, he is coming with clouds. And every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. Ask them, have you ever heard of the second coming of Jesus? They'll say yes. Right, this verse talks about the second coming of Jesus. And it says, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. This is Jesus. And this is what Jesus says. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord. Who is, and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. Who is coming at the second coming? It's Almighty God. Who is coming at the second coming? It is Jesus, who is Almighty God, the Alpha and the Omega. I get religious people knocking on the door. I hope as believers that you take the opportunity to witness to religious people. There are so many religious people in this world that do not know the Lord Jesus. So God tells him to overtake the chariot. You see in verse 29, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this, is silent. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. And beginning at this scripture, preach Jesus to him. In witnessing, God uses the Spirit of God, God uses the Word of God, and God uses the child of God to bring the gospel to people. Paul wrote, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I want you to just see the profession here of the eunuch. Acts 8 verse 37. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now, a couple of things about Christian baptism in the Bible. Christian baptism, as you look at it in the Bible, is only for believers. The early church had to baptize disciples, not babies. Babies aren't disciples. Now, I grew up in the Catholic Church, and my parents, according to their faith, they baptized me in good faith, I must say. They believe that that's what they should do. So they baptized me. They had me christened by the priest. Later on in my life, in my early 20s, I realized that as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, that I need to be baptized, not for my salvation, but to identify with the fact that Jesus is my Savior, that he was living for me, that he died for me and he was buried, and that he was rose again on the third day. Baptism pictures the gospel, sprinkling doesn't. So I believed that I needed to be baptized. So I got baptized and I'd already been christened. Believer's baptism is when you understand the gospel. Acts 2:41, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So those that received the gospel, received the word of God, they were the ones that were baptized. Jesus commanded in Matthew 28 that we were to go out into all the world, that we were to make disciples, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So we are to make disciples, share the gospel, and in response, people that receive the gospel are to be baptized. Need to say this, New Testament baptism for Christians is always by immersion. It's not by sprinkling, it's by immersion. And we have it clear in Acts chapter 8 that the Ethiopian eunuch, he went down into the water with Philip and he came up out of the water. The Lord Jesus went down into the water and came up out of the water. That's what baptism is. If you look up the Greek word associated with baptism or baptized, you'll find the word baptizo, and the meaning in Greek is to dip, to immerse, or to submerge. One bloke rang me up one day, and he discovered, I think it may be in an old dictionary or an old Bible book, he said, "Did you know the meaning of baptism means to pickle?" That's another meaning of baptism, to pickle. How do you pickle onions? Do you sprinkle them or do you let them soak for a while? You put them under the water, don't you? Now, we're not going to leave Andre under the water for a long time. We're not going to pickle him. But there is the understanding there that there is an immersion for a pickling. So baptism means to repeat, to immerse, or to submerge, or even to pickle. Now, I need to say this about baptism. Baptism does not save anyone. Christening does not save anyone. You can be under the water, but not under the blood. You can be under the water and not know about the blood of the Lord Jesus. 1 John 1, verse 7, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." The Bible doesn't say that the waters of baptism cleanses you from all sin. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The Ethiopian, he comes to Christ. He's baptized because he realizes that Jesus is his Savior. Philip is able to share that gospel with him before he's baptized. He was lost spiritually as a religious man, but he's saved eternally when Philip shares the gospel with him. If you're a Christian here this morning, I think your prayer should be, "Lord, give me an Ethiopian eunuch." Now, what I mean by that, give me someone I can witness to, a religious person who does not know Jesus as Saviour. When the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door, don't invite them in, but be prepared. Don't let them witness to you, just witness to them in love and tell them about Jesus, who is God, who came to die for them. Then they answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I wonder this morning, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you say, yes, I do, that's wonderful. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, when was the last time you witnessed to a person? People are going to a Christless eternity without Christ, without the knowledge that Jesus had died for them. Would you be a witness? That's what we're left here for.